43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
"Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked.
"Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, I'm sure that all of you had those very annoying phone calls, usually at the most inconvenient times. You know the ones I mean, those that try to sell you something, try to convince you that your computer has a dangerous fault, offering to make a claim for that non-existent accident you didn't have, and that you're missing out on thousands of pounds in PPI compensation. Now, we all have our favourite ways of dealing with them, but however much we try ignoring them, the persistent little annoyances just won't give up. There is one call that we cannot ignore, and it doesn't come by phone or mobile. It doesn't come by email. It doesn't even come by snail mail. Sometimes we get a call from God, and that call comes in various ways. In ways that are very personal, in ways that speak to our very inner being. But sometimes we don't recognise that they're from God. And sometimes we do recognise that they're from him, and for various reasons we choose to ignore him. The stories about how Jesus called his disciples are all well known, and we've all heard many sermons on the subject. We also know quite well the Old Testament account of how God called people to his service. The account of the call of the young boy Samuel to be his prophet in Israel is a favourite story for the children. However, there seems to be a belief, even among the church, that God doesn't call people that way anymore. That it was an Old Testament thing that's now past. But that's not true. The Lord still does call people to his service, even in this modern, almost atheistic world. But I'm very conscious of how many people fail to hear the call of God on their own lives, or even choose to ignore it. And this is despite all the talk that the church does about how we are called to be followers of Jesus, and despite all the sermons that state we are called to be like the prophets and to hear and to speak God's word to one another. And I ask myself, why? Why are so many people, many of them fine people, many of them people who believe in God and accept Jesus as their saviour, why do they believe that God is not speaking to them personally? Why do so many fail to believe that God is trying to guide them in a particular way? Why can they not see that God is reaching out to them? And I think that the answer is that the people fail to hear the call of God, that they fail to notice how God is summoning them, not because the call is not issued, but because they're either ignorant of how God calls us, or because they allow themselves to pass over that call, to set it aside, as if it was one of those nuisance calls. They grow used to ignoring the word when it comes. Just think about the boy Samuel for a moment. I'm sure we all know the story well. We know that he was a very special child, a special gift from God to his mother Anna. After being barren for many years and in desperation for a child, she tearfully pleads with God to give her a child. God hears her prayer and she becomes pregnant and gives birth to the boy Samuel. And as she promised, the child was dedicated to the Lord by her upon his birth and sent, when still very young, to live with the priest Eli at Shiloh. The scripture says he lived at a time in which the word of the Lord was rare, a time in which visions were not widespread. But nevertheless, Samuel lived in a holy place and in the holy presence. He witnessed the sacrifices made at the altar in Shiloh, and even as a young boy of perhaps 9 or 10, he wore the linen ephod, which was a sign of temple service, and he ministered in the house of God. Like his teacher Eli, he prayed to God. Like his master, he served God faithfully. Like others, he heard the teachings proclaimed and the story of God's love. Samuel lived in a special place. Indeed, the scripture says that Samuel grew up in the presence of God. So Samuel then, of all people, should have been able to recognize the call of God. But as the story shows, he didn't. That is, not until Eli recognized the call for him. We're told that 3 times the Lord called to Samuel where he lay in bed, and 3 times he answered by saying, "Here I am," and ran out to see Eli in the next room. On the 3rd occasion that this occurred, Eli realizes Samuel is answering God's voice and instructs him to go lie down, and if the Lord calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so it was that Samuel finally heard what it was that God wanted him to say, and he learned the fate that was to befall Eli. And so it was that Samuel learned that he was to speak the word of God to others. How much are we like Samuel? Living in a special place, listening to the stories of God's love, serving him in the house and in his word. How much are we like Samuel, dedicated to the Lord? How much are we like him, thinking that the voices we hear in the night come from another room, thinking that they are dreams or simply the result of eating cheese before bedtime? That the inner nudges we feel come only from our intuition or from the fact that our conscious mind is able to play tricks on us. God calls us in many ways. God speaks to us in many forms. And almost all of them are gentle. Almost all of them are subtle. Almost all of them can be mistaken for something else until we heed those calls. And then we discover the power of God is in them and behind them. And that's what happened in today's reading. The power behind the call of God is discovered by one who decides to listen to it. We're told that shortly after his baptism, Jesus decided to go up to Galilee. He'd already called Andrew and Simon Peter to be his disciples. And as he prepares to leave Bethany to go to Galilee, Jesus goes out and finds Philip. And seeking him out, just as he sought out Samuel, and just as he seeks out us, he says to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip responds to the call and prepares to join Jesus. He goes and locates a man called Nathanael and telling him, "We found out him about whom the Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And it's obvious from the text that both Philip and Nathanael were men who were seekers, men who were looking for the promised one of God. But Nathanael's not prepared to accept that call of God that he heard through Philip. Is in fact from God, and replies to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" But Nathanael goes along with Philip. He goes to check out what he's been told, and in doing so discovers that Jesus is a prophet. He is the one with special powers. For Jesus knows without being told where he was the moment before Philip called him. Jesus said, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That must have been an amazing time. But what about us? Do we listen to our fellow seekers? Do we check out the calls that they issue to us? The call to meet the Lord in a particular place and time, the call to discover what we've been looking for. When I look out here this morning, I see a faithful people. I see people who have decided to follow Jesus, people who are struggling to do what is right, people who worship and pray, people who listen to the Bible stories and seek to obey the will of the Lord. I see people like Samuel and Philip and Nathaniel, people who work for God and who undoubtedly love God. But still, when I see you, I wonder how many of you believe that God has spoken to you. How many of you believe that God has personally called you to do what you're doing? And of those who do believe this, how many believe that God is still with you, guiding you, or trying to guide you each day? God is calling all of us. He is calling to all of us. He's calling us not just to follow him. He's calling us to do and say particular things at particular times. He's calling us to walk a particular path with him, a path that's similar to, but not identical, to the path of all the disciples, apostles and saints and prophets before us. God has a plan for you. God seeks to guide you, and that call is personal. God seeks you out, as Jesus sought out Philip. God is calling you by name, just as he called Samuel by name. God calls us in our dreams. He calls us in the voice of those people who are trying to help us find our way. He calls us to our spouses and our workmates. He calls us when we pause to read his word or to meditate. He calls us when we're trying to decide what to do next. He calls when we gaze upon the heavens. He even calls out to us when we pray. But you know, a lot of people speak to God. They pray to him without ever really considering how God might answer them, without seriously considering how they're meant to listen to him. I remember seeing a cartoon once that described this wonderfully. In the cartoon, there's a garden filled with children playing, as only children can. They're yelling and screaming and blowing horns and crying. The dog is barking, a jet plane flies overhead, and two boys are beating on a drum. Inside the house, the mother of one of the children says to her husband, "Listen, that's Billy crying." You see, a mother's ears are conditioned to hear the sound of her child's voice, even above the din. God calls us for a purpose, a good purpose. He calls us to come to him that he may transform our lives. He calls us to listen to him and do what he tells us so he might change us and change our world and make it holy and good, full of love and joy, whole and at peace. If we want to hear God, it helps if we've learned how and where he speaks. It helps if we try, by continual practice, to have conditioned ourselves to hear him above all the noise and distractions of the world in which we live. Listen for God's call wherever you are, in whatever you see and whatever you hear, whether it be in a dream you've just had, in the message of a preacher you've just heard, in the quiet voice you've heard inside you, in the words of a friend who is telling you how God's dealt with them and what it is they think God is trying to say to you. And that happens when you belong to a church, and that happens when you gather with fellow believers. Sometimes they speak to you about God. Sometimes they have a message from God that's meant specially for you. But listen too to the Bible and judge the things you hear by it and by the Spirit in you. Examine the events around you and pray about them. Look and listen, and I promise you that you will hear the voice of God. You will hear his call. Listen, then do as you feel or believe you've been called to do. And if that's a true word, and it very often is, you will experience the power that's behind the word, behind the call. You'll see things happen as God promised. You will see changes that are good. You will see God glorified and people who seek only their own desires humbled. You'll see mercy grace, judgment, and justification. You'll see new life arise out of ashes, and new hopes come out of despair. Listen, and as Jesus promised Nathanael, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Listen, and you'll find what you've been looking for. Listen, God is speaking. Just be prepared to hear him. Yes. Amen.